Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So this is the week that we're going to talk about church camp. So, yeah. Somebody's excited. We got the kids back here, and they're like, yeah, whatever, I'm here. Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a video first, and then we'll go ahead and talk a little bit about it, okay?
All right.
The theme of the year was kingdom, and I'm wearing the shirt. So it's 1 Chronicles 29:11, and it says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all." So, I mean, you could see we did a lot of stuff, but more importantly, we did some godly stuff, right? And even in competition, they encourage us all to, like, not have trash talk, anything like that. We build each other up the entire time. So, it's a great time. I have some more stuff to kind of share, but I'll let the kids start so I don't steal anything they were going to say, or give them the opportunity to say, "Wow, that's what I was going to say."
Okay.
What's your name?
Oh, I'm Abby. So camp for me, it was like a really fun experience of games and worship, but a part that always stood out to me was like the night service, because you go in and everyone runs up to the altar and you're all worshiping, and it's really moving and it's really fun. And then you start sermon, and our pastor, I don't remember his name, Alan Griffin, he was really good. And I really liked when he called us all up and we all got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was really good.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Lonnie. The same thing for me. I really liked the night service. I also really liked the prayer before the night service. That was really good. One of the things I know my brother said that he liked that I also liked, that was like, he was just super, like, Alan Griffin was super fun with his sermons. He would be talking, and then when he would actually go to preach, he'd be like, "Can I preach for a moment?" And then he would talk because he would be joking around and everything, which was really fun, and it just made it a lot more fun. There is a song that I really liked that they did that was by Elevation Rhythm. It's Goodbye Yesterday, and it was such a good song. It was my first time hearing it, but it was just such a good song. They had the worship team switching out between multiple people, which was really not good, so we could hear like different voices and everything, which was really awesome. There was one that he talked about. It was like a question, like, what do you fill the hole in your heart that's like
for God
or something like that. But it was like everything he said was just really moving, and it was awesome. Camp was amazing. It's my second year going this year, and it was just so like moving to see all the kids just run up to the altar. And when you would be singing or praising or whatever, just somebody would just go over to you and start praying for you. And even if they like, they did one where they had you come up and they would pray for you. And it's just so awesome to see all the kids pray for each other and make like help them with their walk with God. So it was amazing.
My name is Olivia, and two weeks ago was my first week at camp, and I feel my favorite part was the night worship, because we would go in and we would praise the Lord, and then we would go and have sermon. And then after all that, we would go back to our cabins and we would all break out into groups, and we would talk about what we liked about that that night, and we would start praying for each other. And one of the nights we all prayed for each other, and I felt that all brought us closer as a group and closer to God. I wrote some stuff down that I learned from the service. And, oh, my name's Zach, my bad. And I learned that you can ask God to fill you with his presence wherever you are, like school, home. It doesn't just have to be here. And you will feel him wherever you are, so. And then I learned that speaking in tongues can heal people and release them of issues and problems. Because there's this one kid, and he had prayed for me during the service. And so at the end of service, people were praying for him, and I just went up, and I spoke in tongues, and he said that He said that he heard someone speaking in tongues, and that he just felt something like release out of him, like a spirit of something like bad just left him. Yeah, and I learned that. I felt real good, and then I learned that God is barely getting started with his plans for me. Like, that was just a start. And yeah.
Hello, I'm Davin, and I had fun between listening to the word and also playing the games. We did really good in the games this year for sure, though. Abe was excited. We went 5-1 in all the games. And I felt like at camp this year, like God had touched me way more than last year and wherever I've been. And he just told me so much stuff there, and praying just felt like the best. Running up to the altar and just praising God while the songs were on. Just, it was so amazing. I love the pastor so much. He's probably the favorite pastor I've ever listened to. Other than my Tata. And everything he said just like touched me so much. And he even prayed for me at camp too. And I just felt so touched, and I was crying in the dorm at night, but it was pretty fun. So.
One more thing is I just want to say thank you to Abe and Micaiah for taking us to camp. And I know that when we broke up that one night to do groups and pray for our leaders, I know that Micaiah said that it's good to hear that they do good and that they know that they're good leaders to us and everything. And it is good to appreciate our youth pastors because they just do so much for us. And sometimes we just don't appreciate it or say thank you. So I just really wanted to give a big thanks to both of you guys.
Okay. I'm crying already. I didn't even talk it. Yeah, like they said, the first night when we had the service, at the end of the service, they had all the leaders come up to the front, and we were praying over the kids. Like, he was naming off stuff. If you need, we were breaking chains that night was the theme. But I think it was the second night, yeah, that he flipped the script, and he's like, I want you to get together with your groups, and I want you kids to pray over your leaders. And that wrecked me, you guys. I was just thinking about it makes me cry. But each one of them were just sitting in our little group holding hands, and it's so loud. But I heard every word they said, and yeah, I was just, it wrecked me. I was crying, and I looked up at Olivia, and she's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yes." I'm like, "They're happy tears." And so, yeah, that really touched me, you guys. Thank you. Do you guys have anything else to say?
Yeah, so thank you to you too, but also thank you to everyone in the church for donations and supporting us for years and years to go. Thank you.
Yeah, whoa. It's like a drum roll.
It was. Drum. Hey, yes.
Oh, it was. Oh, I thought it was a microphone. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yes. Thank you for your donations. Yeah, we have this thing back. We need to take it down. But it says your change to make a change. And as you guys can see, there is a change. Some of the parents have already, you know, told me like a day or two after camp, like, what happened? Like, this kid that came back is a different kid, you know, and it's you guys see the video and you see the fun stuff that we do. We do a lot of fun stuff. But those evening services, it's not just a good word, you know, and makes you feel good and a great message. They go deep, you guys. They go deep. Like I said, the first night, we were praying for them. You saw, and I don't know if you saw, but there was like a little chain link thing. The first night they had gave us strips of papers and said, what are the chains that you need to be broken? What is keeping you from being what God has called you to be? And so everyone wrote on this piece of paper whatever's holding them back. And the last night, they linked all of those chains together, and it went across the whole front of the room, and they literally broke the chains and gave every single kid a crown. We broke those chains and traded them for a crown. Yeah, so that was really cool. And then our last night, you guys, oh my goodness. It's a big, huge room. The pastor said, okay, everybody grab a chair, move it to the side of the room, stack them up. And they cleared out the entire room. And they said, okay, students, girls on this side, boys on this side, I want you to pray for each other. And he told them how to pray. And that's when we invited the Holy Spirit in. And that's when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the leaders just to the side. Just if you see someone that's not praying with someone, you know, they're going to raise their hand, try to match them up. And that's what we did. It was all the students praying for one another. It was so cool to see. And it's so funny because in our church, we have Kleenex everywhere. And I was looking like around everywhere for a box of Kleenex because everybody was crying, you know, because everyone was so touched to have somebody their age speaking words of life over them, you know, praying for them, encouraging them. And so I'm walking around with a box of Kleenex, 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 you know. And so I put on, they give us a little survey and says, you know, any notes for next year? And I said, more Kleenex. yeah, more Kleenex. Yeah. But, you know, they were happy tears. But there were also like every single kid had a smile on their face too. So there were tears, but there were tears of joy. There were tears of healing. It was just so cool to see. And you guys don't get to see that on the video. So I want you guys to know about that. Cause I mean, it's kind of weird if they're like, you know, I don't want to be like up in their face when they're getting prayed for, you know, so you guys don't get to see that. But I just want you to know that it's not just fun and games. We do a lot of that. But those evening services, you guys, is that's the magic of camp.
You know, I know for one thing, when we come out of service, a lot of times we'd have like, well, every time we'd have small groups. So it'd just be the guys with the group of guys that they're with. And we'd sit around and we'd talk about these different things. And, you know, it was just so amazing to see, like, I would pray for somebody in service. And then we go to small groups and I'd already see, like, an answer to that prayer. Like, you know, this is just the beginning. The biggest thing I saw was just, like, how the guys, you know, they just talk differently, right? What they thought about was different. I know that three of them said that it was like the first time in a long time that they like spoke in tongues. It was actually since like last camp. And it's just this thing where, you know, it's not about the place because, you know, we can have that kind of connection anywhere, but it's about saying, God, I'm going to take time out for you and I'm going to dedicate it to you. And that's what I'm here about. And, you know, just be aware of that. You can have that experience too. But, you know, it was just amazing to see the change and the difference and just to hear the things that they're doing. And then, to see them, like, especially on that last night, there was like hundreds of chairs to be moved, just stacked up against the wall, this like big center, just open and everybody walking around praying for each other, you know, teaching them how they should act, not just saying you should do this and then hope they do it later. So, and there was another thing too. It was just recently. It's what? Oh, I thought you were whispering at me. I saw her mouth moving. It wasn't me. So just recently, I was given a question, and I believe a guy was speaking to me, and he said, "What is a family without youth?" And you know, I was just like, okay, what is it? You know, tell me, God. And, you know, I just kind of like search for the answer to that. And it's like, it's the end of a line. There's no future. So we still need to talk some, and with pastor, you know, the church. But there are some things that we're planning on doing to make sure that we respect and we honor what youth can bring to us, that we just like seek something for them, that they are going to be a godly generation. Right now, I saw this like survey and it said Gen Z is the most unchurched generation. So we're going to change that. Yes. Right? And it's going to start small, but it's going to be powerful. So.
Yeah, so stay tuned. We got some surprises in store. I want to share a little, some stats from the camp, but also, so this year, usually we're on a team together where we do like the rec games and stuff. This year we were split up. So the girls were on the gold and the boys were on the magenta team. So the magenta
dominated.
They won. They got first place for camp. Yeah. Good job, boys. And the gold team came in dead last. Woohoo! We tried our best. So we're on opposite ends of the spectrum. And just some fun stuff. And I forgot to bring it, but you guys, I was awarded a golf club. Yeah. So they have this thing where they pick like a male and a female leader. Anyway, so I was chosen for a female leader of camp. So I was awarded a golf club. Oh, I'm screaming back. Okay, so, yeah. So I just wanted to share with you some stats from camp. I don't know the exact number of kids, but I know it was in the 250 range. So here's what God did. For first-time campers, there were 78. For first-time decisions for Christ, there was 114. Filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time was 54. And for those that sense God's calling on their life was 100. And they split these up into like four different categories, but here it's just one and it's divine healing. But they did split it up and there was like spiritual, physical, mental, and I think there was one other one, but I don't remember what it was. But anyways, like I said, we had about 250 campers, but those that received divine healing, 382. Woo! Yeah, so that means there was not just one healing, but multiple healings. Wow. So probably just about everyone received a healing, but many of them received more than one. So that's awesome to hear. And they also do something that's called Speed the Light. Every year they do a different like offering for something different. This year they're raising money for a vehicle for a couple in Thailand. So they are getting a vehicle to them so they can go out and reach people, because I think Bangkok was like the number one place for trafficking, for human trafficking. Yeah, so that's why they're there. And so just for our camp, I think there's six camps. So just for our camp, these students, not us, these students brought their offerings. They raised $7,572.88. Yeah. Yes. So I wanted to share one thing that stuck out to me at camp, and it leads right into what Abe's got for you. But in the mornings when they're doing their devotions, we have like a leader meeting. And so what they told us in this meeting is that this generation is the most heavily medicated generation because of anxiety, depression, all of these things. Yes, and that broke my heart. Okay, come on. Yeah, that's crazy. Here I got one. Thank you. Kleenex. Yeah, so these kids are at war every day, and we need to be praying for them. So I want to tell you guys, if you live near a school, or every time you drive by a school, every time you think about it, pray for these kids, okay? They need our help. They need our intercession, because they have so much against them. But that's why Abe and I have, like I said, we have more to come, but we need to discuss it more. But should we share the name? Or not yet? Okay. All right. So, yeah. So anytime you think about it, just pray for these kids, okay? And so it's got something.
So, you know, on top of that question, there was also this other thing, like, what am I going to do, right? What am I supposed to do? So one of the things is if you read in scripture, it talks about how the young are supposed to be taught by their elders. And that the young also help the elders stay young. So one thing I want to do is improve that relationship between us, right? Because, I mean, you see the youth in the church, the youth sees you, but how well do you know them, right? The thing is we're a family, and we should treat each other as a family. And one thing I want to do to start is I set up these back where Pastor John is. It says a message for our youth. And what we're going to do is I'm going to ask everybody in church, whoever, you know, feels led to write a message on this. Okay, we have small ones and we have full page ones. Whatever you want to put on there, there's going to be room for it. You can take multiple. And then somebody stole my bin. Is it over there still? Somebody stole my bin. I know it was ugly, but but there's a bin. you can return your papers in. Well, oh, there, she found a nice one. I just had to talk to Stella. so I was looking everywhere. That's our youth one. It had toys in it. So, so what I'm asking is that, you know, please write something encouraging on here. Write prayers. Place them in there. We're going to do a couple different things with them. One, we were kind of planning on redecorating over here a little bit in our youth area, but we want to, you know, show encouragement to our youth. Okay, so we'll probably use some of that stuff to encourage our youth, and then also we want something where somebody who needs it can look at this, even take it with them, and find encouragement in it. Okay, so I guess that's it. You have anything else? You have something?
If you guys got a word, like, you can tell them directly too. Yeah. but yeah, if you have a scripture, anything that God is leading you to, we're going to have them out there. So anytime God puts something on your heart, just go get a piece of paper, put it in the bin, or give it to one of us, and we will get it to them because, yeah, we love our youth, right?
Good morning to all. I hope that what you heard this morning was encouragement. You see, as I was watching him, numbers-wise, not very many of them, right? But heart-wise, they got enough heart for all of us. And that's what we have for our tomorrows, right? But we're a part of them, as Abe said today. And so, not only in prayers, but don't just bypass them. Give them a hug now and then. Tell them how beautiful they are. Because they are. And as I was looking at him, it's like I said, the numbers are small. But when you really look at our congregation, I kind of like the idea to say, yeah, 10% of our youth is is there, right? 10% of this church body is our youth. That's kind of a nice way of looking at it. It sounds a lot bigger, right? Who cares if it's 300 or 30, but 10%. And so I thank God for Abe and Makaya. I really, really do. They put their heart into this. And I know there's others that are doing the same thing in a different category, but there's people out here that are really encouraging our youth. Now, one of the things I wanted to mention is that you hear the stories when they went to this conference, this youth meeting, and I don't think that anybody can say that they came back, that not a one of them came back without having a change in them. Even if we may not see it, even if they don't see it right now, something changed within them. We have to trust that. There's an atmosphere that goes on in these places, just the Spirit of God being so heavily upon that place that things change within their heart. And my point bringing that into today is that right now the atmosphere can change here. Okay? You don't have to go to some big conference somewhere and listen to some great pastor. Because you got him here, right? Got some great pastors here. Anybody that speaks the word of God is a great pastor, right? Anybody that's bringing you the true gospel is a good pastor. And so what I want to say today is that I really feel that God wants to do something major this morning. There's some feeling that he wants to do in each one of us. There's some changes, just as the kids went through. There's some changes that need to take place in this church body. But if we here are not willing to give the Holy Spirit that place, it ain't going to happen. And so, for this morning, as we go into worship, as we go into the Word, all that junk that's up here, all that stuff that we're thinking about, well, we did this yesterday, and now tomorrow I got to do this. Where am I going to have lunch after this? Put that stuff away. Give the Holy Spirit these 2 hours that you come here. Just focus on Him. Let His Spirit flow. And watch Him work. These kids came back changed. I hope that when you walk out of these doors, you're changed. Something will happen if you say it's okay. Our Lord is a gentleman, and He will not come and take over if you don't invite him. So I ask that today, invite him, let him have his way. So if you would please stand with me and we'll pray. Father God, we know there's always more. Even when we feel that we are totally filled with you, Lord, we know there's more. We want overflowing, Lord. We want your spirit to overflow in each one of us. So, Lord, I ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would come and that you would have your way with each one of us this day, that we would put away those things that we have to deal with every day, Lord, and that our focus would be totally on what you're doing this day, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you never leave us where we are. You always take us to a new place because with you there is, all things are new every morning. So, Lord, as we come into worship, Lord, as we come into the Word, may our focus be on you. We thank you for who you are. We pray in the name of Jesus. Please remain standing and let's just worship because he deserves it.
You get up here and blab, but you guys are on the right track. And how do I know? I've been around a while and this brought back memories to the 1980s when we sent our youth to a new church camp. And they all came back and stood in a row. And their confession was, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was speaking in tongues as the evidence. And that changed our church. The kingdom belongs to these up here. You know, it really does. And so after that, we honored them in ways that maybe we were. We don't just have church to have a place to put them. They belong to the church. We belong to them. And that, I'm just telling you, if you'll continue to follow this path, it'll change your church. We wound up sending missionaries all over the world out of that little group, and preachers and song leaders. And I could, a lot more than that group, but it multiplies. And so support them. I'm thankful. I just had to say, I got to keep this short, but I just had to say you're on the right track.
I years ago, when my kids were little, they went to a church camp. And we were going to a church called Abundant Life Christian Center. And when they came back, revival. Yes.
Amen.
Like I've never seen it before. These kids were being used to lay hands on the sick and miracles and winning people to Christ. It was wild. They sparked the revival. And when I was coming, I cry, and I don't usually cry. But when I was coming to church this morning, okay, God said, it's about ready to happen where you're going. And I went, what was going to happen? And I heard in the spirit a boom, like a giant explosion going on. And he said, that's the way I am going to pour out my spirit upon this church. Amen. Amen.
Y'all, I want to tell you that I've learned some things the last few weeks, thanks to Miss Stella. And I am using my authority that Jesus Christ gave me to ask for healing. I'm demanding healing. My family is under attack. My sister just had a biopsy on her lung. My son-in-law is going to have a biopsy on his prostate. My younger sister's spine is just deteriorating. And I am commanding healing in the name of Jesus Christ for this to be done. I cannot tell you how full I feel, how much this church and these people have built me up, stand behind me, and are there to comfort me. I'm not even talking about my own shoulder that I just had a replacement in a month ago. I feel I am totally healed. I've had no pain. I've had no setbacks. And that is because I gave it all to God. God bless you all.
I know I was just up here, but this whole week, God has had this on my heart this whole week. And at camp, there's this other song. It's called "The Slower I Go." And at one part, it says, "It seems as though the slower I go, the faster I arrive." And this to me means that a lot of people try to rush what God's trying to do. But if you just go at the pace He's telling you to and don't rush it, and even if it could take so long, but it doesn't matter because He's just going to have something at the end. But people are trying to rush it and be like, "Well, God, I have to do this now." When He has something for you later down the line, not now. He could have something for you now, but some people just like to rush it. You have to go slow because you'll arrive faster if you go at the pace God wants you to go. You don't want to rush it, or else you don't know if maybe it could mess something up, that He is waiting for you at the end to show you that this is the area that you need to be at.
This song, we've done it so many times, but this week God's really just laid it on heavy every time I heard it. You know, we just heard a bunch of kids talk about how the Holy Spirit filled them. But, you know, can I tell you that it's powerful because we know the power that it has in their life, right? But it's the same power that all of us contain. See, that's the thing, is it doesn't matter about age. It doesn't matter if you're the elder in the church or if you're the youngest in the church. God's got things that He wants to do. It's why it's called the body. All of it, right? The whole thing. See, as God speaks to us, we minister to each other. It's why church is so important, right? The every single day is what builds the relationship. See, when we come to church, we come and we build each other up. But that's the thing, is church in the sense of meeting with God should continue every day. See, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday should all be happening for us as well. It shouldn't just be a one-day thing. The everyday that we spend time with God is building a relationship that teaches us about who He is. See, it gives us things that we need. It allows revelation in our life. All of these things, right? But see, those things happen through the Holy Spirit who's given to us. While they were up here talking, God gave me a scripture that to be honest, read John 14. It's really, really good, right? I mean, everything's really good in the Bible, but if you're looking at some things with the Holy Spirit, like I really enjoyed John 14 because it had a lot of things that just, I feel like even this week, God just really was like, whoa, right? But verse 17 says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." See, this touched me for a reason this week, and I think it's the same reason that it came to mind now, is because there are going to be churches who believe that the Holy Spirit isn't for everybody, right? And that everybody's not meant to accept this
gift that God's given. But if you really look in the Bible, the Holy Spirit comes up a lot. And it's because it even talks about in here that he's an advocate for you. And it says it, that word more than once, advocate. And I know this week I even was like, you know what? I really wanted to look up what advocate, you know, just for definition wise, right? We all know what an advocate is, right? It speaks on behalf of somebody, right? But I like that in the definition, it talks about how the Holy Spirit will plead on your behalf. See, that's the thing. In the Webster Dictionary, advocate is a pleading on the behalf of somebody for a cause, right? Or standing with somebody in something. It even talked about, because a lot of times it talks about in the judicial system, your advocate is your third party who helps to fight for you, right? And that's the thing, is that as I was looking up some of those things, this scripture popped out in a different way because, see, it says even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See, in other translations, you'll see that it says Holy Spirit for Spirit of truth, because it's the same, okay? But it's not because they can't receive them because I haven't given that to you. It says right after that, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. See, that's the thing. Our every day is important because we know him. See, that's the thing. As we go after God, as we press in, as we move, we begin to know who he is. And as revelation takes place in our lives, it's the Holy Spirit who's moving, right? And revealing and giving us new things and showing us things that we didn't realize before. It's the importance of who he is in our life, right? See, it's the difference between us just being a church and us being a church who is overflowing and pouring out. See, that's the thing. It doesn't matter if we're a tiny group or a huge group. The effectiveness is in knowing who he is and allowing him to walk and move in every single thing we do. See, even as a worship leader, my biggest desire has always been that it not be anything about me, but all about who he is. Because Rebecca by herself can't change anything, but Rebecca filled with who he is can change everything. And see, that's the power that's within each and every one of you. He knows what he's doing, and he has so much more. See, and that's the thing, is the Spirit empowers you to do mighty things. It's who you're meant to be. It's what you're meant to have. And I'm really sorry, but I can feel the Spirit flowing. Somebody keep going. But that's the thing, is that God has things for you. It doesn't matter if you are the elder of the church or the youngest in the church. You're going to minister to each other. You're going to do things for each other. And as you build each other up, you're going to build a strong body who's after God. It's like the same triangle that they talk about with a marriage, right? The bringing together of people happens as you focus on him. See, that's where unity takes over, because the Holy Spirit begins to deal and it begins to show his thing and it begins to minister. I don't know if you were here last week, but I talked about how God touched my marriage, and that when I went into the Bible, I'm going to be honest, I was mad sometimes. And my thought was like, God, give me something to say to him. Give me something to say. And he said something, but he said something for me. Because that's the thing, is God wants to deal with us. As we meet him, as we get to know him, he's going to show us things about our lives that just the ripple effect of what it does in the lives around us is what you'll begin to see. See, that's the thing, is we don't need to be focused on everything around us. Just focus on him. And as you focus on him, and just like this scripture talks about, as you get to know him, he dwells within you and he just begins to pour out on things that he's wanting to show you, things he's wanting to give you, things he's wanting to repair, things he's wanting to break chains on, things he's wanting to lift burdens. All of those things are for you. It's a mighty thing. The Spirit and what it does in the church is so powerful. It's so powerful. It fights on your behalf. It's your advocate in all things if you will just allow him to fight. See, you gotta surrender and let him do what he's gonna do.
Yo vine para arriba porque ella está hablando en inglés. Y Dios me puso en mi corazón que lo que venga y lo diga en español. El Espíritu de Dios está aquí. El Espíritu de Dios tiene poder. Todos tenemos problemas. Matrimonios, familias, enfermos. Yo tengo 2 días que se están muriendo. Están en las manos de Dios, yo lo sé. Pero hoy me siento ahí con mi tía, platicar con ella. Es todo lo que puedo dejar y dárselas a Dios. Pero ella está hablando del Espíritu Santo. Es un regalo, es una promesa que Él nos dio a todos. A todos.
John released something when he came up earlier. I don't even think he knows it. But he released something in the spirit. When you were talking about, it's not about the place. So it's not about camp or conference or even revival. Lonnie, when she began to speak, she said something about waiting, about not being in a hurry. Zach released a word that said, it doesn't matter where you are, you can tap in to that spirit. Yeah. A couple weeks ago when they came back from camp, the Lord began to impress some things on me because I'm a former camper and a former leader at camp. And I remember being at camp and them saying, hey, what's happening here is very unique because it's like an atmosphere. It's an atmosphere kind of like a jungle for a plant. It's perfect. The humidity, the rainfall, just everything about that atmosphere is conducive to planting right in the jungle. Same thing at camp. It's conducive. That atmosphere is just perfect for these young kids to go and be a part of and be able to move and feel the Spirit of God moving. And then they come back to the desert, right? And so we were told as camp leaders and whatever to try to foster what we had up there, bring it down here and try to keep them kind of, I guess, insulated or whatever, right? So we would try for a few weeks and yeah, we had some good services and things were going good, but then it would still kind of die off. And Monday came, right? Monday came. So, Lord, what do we do about that? It's interesting that the camp theme was kingdom. Where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So what are these things, right? Speaking in tongues, blessing, healing, fruitfulness, marriage is healed. All of these things that have been happening right now have been spoken of. All these things, right? And then I go, man, that's good. And then I was talking to Zach. I didn't give him a chance. I said, hey, tell me about camp. And then I started talking and I gave him a chance, right? But then he finally got a chance. But so I was telling him about one of my favorite scriptures. There's a couple. And it says, one thing have I desired. One thing. Come on. One thing. Here's the one thing I crave from Yahweh. The one thing I seek above all else. I want to live with him every moment in his house. Beholding the marvelous beauty of Yahweh, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to contemplate in his temple. This was David writing this before the temple was built. What was he talking about? The manifest presence of Yahweh. When David was a shepherd out with his sheep, he was in that place ministering. He was there worshiping. When he was running from Saul, who wanted to kill him, he was worshiping. When he actually walked into becoming king, he was worshiping. He was a worshiper. His ups and downs, he found the presence of God, and that was the one thing. The one thing. So I say, well, Lord, how do we foster this atmosphere for this for the future? They are the future, and the future is now. It's not tomorrow, it's not later, it's now. How do we foster that? And he says, I have an answer for that too. Psalm 1. I'm going to read it so that I do it right. Psalm 1 says, I'll just read the whole thing. What delight comes to the one. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, so if you're not familiar, but what delight comes to the one who follows God's ways? He won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His passion is to remain true to the word of I am, meditating day and night on the true revelation of light. He will be standing firm. Here it is. Here it is. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit, not in its season, but in every season of life. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. We don't have to wait for revival to come. We don't have to wait for the rain to come. We don't have to wait for that falls. Because when we're deeply planted and rooted, we're not being sustained by that which falls, but that which flows. That brook, that river that flows, we're connected to that. And it says he will never faint. So in the desert, he will never faint. He will never be dry. It says that there is a river that flows from the throne in heaven. And on every side of the brook of that river are trees. And on those trees are leaves. And those leaves are the healing of the nation. You are those trees. There's no healing required in heaven, right? There's no healing required in heaven because it's done. The trees are here. The trees are now. Healing is now. Healing is in you, in your words, in your life. It overflows. Romans 8:28 says, what does it say? It's one of my favorite. All things work together for good for those who love Christ and are called according to his purpose. all things, right? Okay. There, if you break it down, there's a sense that things are working out, no matter what. A few years ago, I was talking to my buddy. He goes to church at a Spanish church. And I said, hey, read me that scripture. And I said, no. In your Bible, read it to me. So he reads it to me in Spanish. And in Spanish, a lot of times, they flip how it's told to you. So he reads it to me, and it was like this. For those who love Christ and are called according to his purpose. It starts with the, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. And then it says, all things work together for good for those, right? And I said, there's more, right? That was enough, but there was more. In the Passion, it says, instead of all things are working together, it says, God is working these things together. So it takes power out of the things just happening and life around you just happening and you just ending up okay. It says God, who is intimately in love with you, who are called according to his purpose, he, on your behalf, is working things out for your good. It changes the perspective. And is it because of the Passion Translation? No. It's because of the Spanish Bible? No. It's because the Holy Spirit in you brings revelation to you so that you can be that light in the earth. As these guys were playing right here, I began to sing a song, and I called this the Song of the Ages. And it's simple. It's simple. Is happening and something has broken the spirits. And though we may not see an immediate return on that, it has happened, it has begun. And it may be slow and it may be fast and slow, but it's happening and it's happened. This service kind of went somewhere. again, John, you spoke something, and I feel like it was just like the Holy Spirit began right from the start. Right when Nate began to speak, and Micaiah, God is doing something in them. Before they left to camp, we were praying, and I sensed something breaking right there, and an awakening beginning to happen in you guys. There's an awakening that's happening that you guys are a part of, that God is pouring stuff into you that you've seen before, visions, dreams, things that are awakening now in that. Words, ideas, blessing upon blessing upon blessing. This is something is happening that you can't explain, and so we won't. We'll just trust the King of Glory in this. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
God is so good, and He loves you so much, and He doesn't want to leave you where you're at. He wants to do more for you, but He wants you to understand the truth. He wants you to understand. In Scripture, and it says, put on the full armor of God, that you would take up and stand against the schemes of the devil. The whole idea is, if you have doubt, if you have fear of what God is doing, stop it. Stop it, because God is there. The other scripture He gave me was, God did not give you a spirit of intimidation, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. The peace of God, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's a peace of God of your own understanding, that you will understand, and He will show you the schemes of the enemy. Just let the Holy Spirit in, and the enemy cannot. The enemy cannot come in. He can't tell you about your mind or the things of the past, because He's doing a new thing. Today is a whole thing. It's a new thing. We can go up and we can go down, but He wants us to look up at Him and stop looking at the negative and start looking at the positive, because the schemes of the enemy want you to look at the negative, but the God's power wants you to look at His power. For you have the power, the love, and the self-discipline. You can do it. Through the Holy Spirit, you will be able to do it.
Hallelujah. We probably better get going, because it's getting pretty in towards the afternoon. How many say amen? I know God's got a word for you guys this morning. I know that God has placed something on my heart that everybody needs to hear. The body of Christ actually needs to hear this message this morning. And so I'm just going to kind of just get right into it. Can you say amen? Because I like to worship. I like to get up out of my chair. I mean, I like to walk around. I like to worship back and forth a little bit. But you know what? You know, I think you guys have gotten enough today. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, you say, man, we got enough already, man. Come on. Hallelujah. But you know what? I need to talk to you a little bit. If you look at today, the message today, it's called The Separator. The Separator. How many of you guys? Yeah, The Separator. And you know, what I'm gonna talk about is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy. If there's anything in the body of Christ that has separated the body of Christ, it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
Do you realize how important the baptism of the Holy Ghost is? A lot of times we don't realize it. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I will say to you, I've listened to a lot of excuses as a pastor. Can you say amen, brother?
Amen.
Can you say amen, brother? I've heard them all. Oh, it should be kept quiet. Oh, it should be. It's just a personal thing and everything. But I would say that Jesus, when He was leaving the planet, one of the things He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. That's what He said. Is that right? That's what He said. Those are some of His last words to the wait for the Holy Ghost. Folks, we have been a church, we have been brought up in churches that send people to foreign mission fields without the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, that's a dangerous thing to do. Because we don't understand what the Holy Ghost is. We don't understand the power that there that is available to every child of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's available to you. Jesus said, wait for it. Wait in Jerusalem. Can you say amen? How many know? How many can wait in Jerusalem right now today? Come on, man. You gotta understand that when you're on your knees in the throne room of God, you are in the new Jerusalem. The word of God, Jesus, oh God. I'm looking at the time because I know your roast is burning. And next Sunday, you're going to bring me some burned roast. Say, here, this is what happened, Pastor. Come on. No, listen, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what God spoke to me about this morning. But this morning, last night, after I finished these things, after I finished this message, after I thought I was done, the Holy Spirit said, what has separated the church today is the thought of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because my people don't understand the power that's available to them. If you understood the power that's available to you, you'd be after that power. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
If you understood what God has for you personally, you'd be after that thing personally. It's not just this scattershot that we all stand under and wait for. No, it is something that you personally, you have to go after. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And let me just say, it's not just speaking in tongues isn't the thing you're after. It is the revelation, the knowledge, the understanding that God brings through the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? When you pray in the Spirit, you are opening. Let me say, yeah, it sounds weird. Can we say amen? How many felt weird the first time you spoke in tongues? No, just a couple of you. Just two or three. I'll tell you what. When I was teaching going after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because I saw it in Scripture. The pastor I served, he told me, look, you're an Assembly of God church. We're our Pentecostal. Can you say amen? How many of you? I'll tell you, you know what? I'm going to tell you, don't title me Pentecostal. You can title me a pastor that is after the kingdom. And this kingdom operates by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? That's who I am. You want to call me Pentecostal? That's okay. Yeah, people have said, what kind of church is it? Well, yeah, I can be. You can call it Pentecostal because that's what we know and understand. We don't get the power, though. Do you understand what God is trying to say to you this morning? We have things in our lives that we need answers for. Can you say amen? How many? Anybody? We need answers for. And the world, God is not looking for the world to give you your answer. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
He wants you to hear his answer for you personally.
Amen.
Boy.
That's true.
So I just want to, you know, I was going to start out with Apollos, who talked about Jesus. And when he was talking about Jesus, he didn't know the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So Priscilla and another, they brought him aside. They say, hey, we want to bring you aside so you can know these things a little more perfectly. Can you say, everybody say perfectly. Perfectly. God wants you to know perfectly the things that he has for you. Can you say amen to that? And it talks about that while Apollos was there, Paul the Apostle shows up. And Paul's asked a question. He goes, hey, do you guys know the Holy Ghost? Have you guys been baptized in the Holy Ghost? They said, we don't even know what the heck a Holy Ghost is. I said, well, what were you baptized under? He said, well, we were baptized under the baptism of John. And Paul said, well, he brought a baptism of repentance. But the baptism of repentance was to find that one that everybody's been looking for. His name is Jesus. Have you been baptized in Jesus? No. Well, no. So they baptized them in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? Folks, we got a one God. We don't have three gods. We got one God, and he operates Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They baptized him. And then Paul says, okay, one more thing. And he laid hands on them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was something they needed. Paul knew it. Jesus knew it. Somehow we've forgotten it. We've let it get aside. We've let it become, well, it's one of those things we do. We don't really need it. It's an option you can have. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, wait for it. Wait for it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If you don't got it, wait for it. You'll get it. God has placed it in you already. If you're a believer in Christ, it's already within you. It is something that needs to be stirred up. Can you say, Matt? I can feel the Holy Ghost. Listen, I just want to show you. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Let's look at this. Jesus said this. It was the last day of the feast. In the feast day, the last day of the feast, the priests would come out and they'd pour out water on top of this great big rock that they had placed there, and it was to symbolize that the water poured out of the rock. It was the last day of the feast, and Jesus stood and cried, and he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow. Everybody say, out of his belly.
Out of his belly.
Now, how many of you believe in Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now say this. Out of my belly shall flow. Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is that right? Come on.
Amen.
But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Well, John the Baptist got it. Is that right?
Yeah.
He was special. He was a special man. How many say amen to that? He was special. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Talking about the rivers of living water that flowed out of, say it, my belly. Out of your belly, out of your bowels, out shall flow rivers of living water. Can you say amen to that? I came down to the church one day to pray around the building. You guys have all heard this. And the Holy Spirit said something to me. I was standing out front. An old man had driven in, asked where, hey, is it closed? Yeah, I said, yeah, but it's not going to be a bowling alley anymore. It's going to be a church. And he F and roll off. Praise God. I turned around, looked at the building. It was all boarded up. You couldn't look inside. You couldn't get in it. I looked at the building and God said, prophesy to that building, Henry. Huh? What?
Okay.
I don't know. Well, God, it's like this. I don't know what to say. You see, but I had been praying in tongues. Folks, I pray in tongues. I don't pray a lot with my own understanding. A lot of you might notice that. When I go to pray regular, well, you don't know what he's praying about. Because I pray in tongues most of the time, folks. I speak in a heavenly language that God has placed within me. I call on heaven with this language. I said, Lord, I don't know. And out of my mouth flowed, open up, O ye doors. Open up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, mighty in battle. Ooh, the Lord of hosts. Then I started prophesying to the building. Doesn't mean anything. It just means that the Holy Spirit's speaking through me. Is that okay? How many of you want the Holy Ghost to talk through you? Oh, you got to let him talk to you. We had a lot of that this morning. Can you say amen? Woo-hoo, yeah. You guys are getting loaded up, man. But let me just say, then he began, and then he said, this is what he said. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the people of God, carrying rivers of living water into the city. There's a flood coming, folks. It's a flood like we've never seen. Can you say amen to that? Woo, come on. God is getting ready. He's ready, but he needs you. Hallelujah. You see, when God speaks, when he begins to speak to you in another tongue, you can have an expectation in your heart of knowing what he's saying. You're going to just say, Lord, I don't know what I just got through saying, but I know it's significant. Everybody say significant. What God speaks through you is very significant to you. It might sound like Hali Baba. Hali Baba. Ba 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 ba. Da ba 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 baran. Ba ba ba. It might sound like that, but I tell you, it's very significant. Can you say amen? You see, because it's not you speaking, it's him speaking. I remember a pastor, he said that his first word was T. T. And then later on, he got a key. So it sounded, he said, when I was praying in tongues, it sounded like I was calling the cat, kitty, 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 kitty. But see, every sound known to man is significant in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? That's just who he is. Hallelujah. Can I say, I've gotten to the point where I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm saying, Lord, but I don't really care because I know it's something important. Can you say amen? The significance of what God has given us via the Holy Ghost. That's the gift. He said, I'm giving you a gift. And we refuse to use it because we want to use it on our own intellect. I said, well, I sound stupid when I do it. No, you don't. The Holy Ghost speaks. And what he does when he's speaking to you, because I believe it's in Jude. Where he says, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself in the most Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit. That you, what you're doing is you are building yourself. You don't realize it, but it's the Spirit of God building you from within. Can you say amen? Amen. Ooh, come on. Psalm 42:7 says this, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your water spouts. It's not so the specific prayers you do in your intellect. I'm so intellectual, I can pray specific prayers to God. Who cares? Does God not say he already knows what you need? Why don't you let him pray? Why don't you open your spirit to let him pray? It's the only way to pray, folks. It's the only way. Yeah, I know. It's hard to sit around the table and say, all right, folks, grab hands. Yeah, let's pray for our food. Amen. All right, let's go. Now, the scriptures don't do it that way. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you that most of it is a personal thing with you and God, learning to pray in the Spirit, allowing him to challenge you in the things that you think. Can you say amen? Because I will tell you, when I began to pray in the Spirit, I got challenged in things in the way I was thinking. I went to church and I started preaching. So I saw the Holy Spirit started showing me about our perfection. How many of you believe you're perfect in Christ?
Amen.
Oh, you better raise your hand because Christ dwelling in you, he already killed you. Can you say amen? Amen. Do you know that? Do you know that you died on the cross with him?
Amen.
And then slowly but surely, he's resurrecting you. Peace. By peace, thought by thought, moment by moment. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Here a little, there a little. He's bringing you back to life. And he's bringing what it is not an old creature. It's a new creature. It's brand new. It's something that he has planned for you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, God. Yeah. And when it says deep calls into deep at the noise of your water spouts. The noise is the Holy Ghost, folks. There's times where I feel like I'm praying in German. There's times where I feel like I'm praying in Japanese. There's times that I'm praying, feel like I'm praying in Spanish. And that's the worst one for me because I can't understand any words. But like everybody say significant.
Significant.
Every word that comes out of your mouth is significant. Do you know that Jesus says that every word that you speak, you're going to give an account for? Every word that you speak. Well, how about the words he speaks? You see, I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and I told everybody, I never asked God to be a pastor. And the Holy Spirit said to me, oh, you did, Henry. You just didn't know you were doing it. You are praying in the Spirit. It was my will, not your will. Can you say amen? This is the way we do it, folks. This is what God has. This is the design that God has made for us. As you pray in the Spirit. Psalm 8, 27 and 28. I'm sorry, Romans 8, 27 and 28. To throw off my guy back there. He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Who's he that searches the heart?
Jesus Christ.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They know that he knows, and he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know. Everybody say, we know.
We know.
We know. All things, what?
Work together
for good. To them that love God. To them that are called according to his purpose. We know. See, because I'll tell you, folks, it's an understanding that you get about the Holy Spirit, about what praying in the Spirit is. When you pray in the Spirit, I know. How do you know? Did he tell you that? I prayed in the Spirit. I just know. What do you know? Whatever I need to know. Come on. You see, God says that we have to live by faith. Praying in the Spirit takes faith. Sometimes people think they have to describe to God everything that's going on. God's saying, I got it. I got it. You missed this part. No, I don't think he does. I think he knows. See, we figure by our intellect, we think we got to do it that way. Where he says, look, I've given you a gift. My son has given you a gift. And it's a valuable gift. Can I tell you, we need understanding about this. Can you say amen? I believe the whole church needs understanding. I believe today this message needs to go out to the body of Christ, whoever would hear it. Because whoever is doubting the baptism of the Holy Ghost, whoever is criticizing the baptism of the Holy Ghost, needs to hear this message, folks. It really does. Because God is bringing a kingdom into the earth, and it operates just this way. It operates this way. They that be led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Come on, man. Check this out. We need understanding. Proverbs 1:23 says this. I'm sorry, folks. I got 2 minutes left, but I'll get you there. Amen? I can talk fast in 2 minutes. Turn you at my reproof. This is what God, hey. Turn at my reproof. When I show you something, turn at it. Turn from it. I will pour out my Spirit to you, and I will make known my words to you. Can you say amen? That's his promise to you. It's a personal thing, folks. Come on. Proverbs 4, verse 1 says this. Hear, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Is that all I go? Hear and attend. Give it some attention. Let yourself be present to listen to understanding. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What's more important, wisdom or understanding? Come on. I'm just asking you that. I said, it's important that you get wisdom. And it says, Proverbs 4:7 says this. Wisdom is the principal thing. Is that right? But then he says, therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting of that wisdom, get understanding. You see, understanding is more like the word revelation. You can get wisdom, but if you don't understand what that wisdom is doing or what it's doing for you, it's not doing you much good. You need understanding. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Come on. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Let me know what you got. Now watch this. We run over this scripture a lot. We've said it a lot, but I want you to look at it because we're talking about understanding. Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 12. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? That word can be also the message. Who will he make to understand the message? What was that? Doctrine. Them that are weaned from the milk, drawn from the breasts, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And then he says this, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Ghost. With stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak to my people and I will give them understanding. I will teach them. I was taken back when I was studying because my pastor had asked me, he said, I'm taking the Berean courses to become a pastor. And I got through a couple of books. I was in the third book. I was looking at church history. My, it was the boringest book I ever seen in my life. I think I read the same chapter like four times. Wow. I'm looking at this, and I got it, and I looked at this, it says church history. Okay, and I kind of tossed it off to the side and pulled my Bible. I said, God, I got to hear from you. I'm tired of that. I got to hear from you. You know what God said to me? I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't ask you to do that. I said, yeah, well, my pastor did. And he gave me a scripture. And this might save you guys some money if there any of you are planning to go to a seminary. How many? This might save you some money. He gave me a scripture in John, the book of John, 1 John, and said, the anointing that you have received, the unction that you've gotten is from God, and that you need no man to teach you. Can you say amen to that? It's kind of weird for us because we have grown up our lives under teachers and people that instruct us, doctors, but the God is saying, you don't need anybody to teach you. I am the holy God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is what he's saying. And I will teach you everything you know. As a matter of fact, I put things in your path for you that you don't need that other path that you've already walked in. What I have for you is what I have planned for you. But folks, you will not get to it unless you allow the Holy Spirit to give you the understanding. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
When we said, this is the rest where we cause the weary to rest, this is the refreshing, talking about the Holy Ghost praying in tongues, this is the refreshing. I will tell you, when I pray in the Spirit, I can be troubled about a lot of things. Can you say amen to that? A lot of about y'all. Yeah, just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah, yeah. But I can get troubled about a lot of things. But when I go and I pray in the Holy Spirit, this is a refreshing. Can you say amen? Everybody say refreshing. Refreshing. How many like showers? How many like taking a bath? Is that refreshing to you? Come on, man. And this is like a refreshing. It is waters that come surging up, carrying care and worry and all those things. It's built for us. We're designed for this, you guys. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to show you something because I didn't realize how important praying in tongues was. I started thinking, well, I'm just praying the same thing over and over again. It feels like what you said not to do with when I was a Catholic, to say prayers over and over and over and over again. Yeah, and that's what it felt like. And the Lord had to show me, no, every word is important. When you're praying in the Spirit, every word is important. And at work, we have these things at work where they're called cyclones. They're called hydrocyclones. And they're great big. These things are big. I would say they're probably 4.5 to 5 feet in diameter at the top. They cone down to about an 8-inch pipe this way. This is a picture of one. And they are a separator. See this inlet where it says feed on this side? I had a red thing I was going to bring, but I forgot it. So let's put maybe, okay, and I just saw somebody looked at me. They said, hey, my roast. Okay, yeah, here we go. See where it says feed? Right there, they pump sand and water into this thing. They pump it in pretty hard. It's coming in fast. It spins in a circle. And it goes into that upper cone, and there, here's this. As you can see, there's two spinnings going on. Is that on the inside of that, right? There's one that's going on. Everything's spinning and it's going down. What happens when you spin around real fast on a? You get dizzy, for one thing. Yeah. But how many of you know that centrifugal force plays a lot of? Well, centrifugal force is going to shove all the heavy stuff to the outside of this thing. And all the fine stuff, this is in copper mining, it's copper and molybdenum. That's what they want. That's what they're looking for. It's in the center. And it will spin and spin. And if there's not, do you see that thing? Can you go back to that other drawing? You see where it says vortex finder? You see that? That's a piece of pipe. You see where it's pointing. It's a piece of pipe that it, this cyclone is spinning very quickly. And we would run a pipe down into the top of that spin, and it's in that vortex. That vortex is the same thing you see in your drains. We'll see it in the, we put this pipe down in there, and what it does, it spins, it'll catch that fluid, and it'll throw it up in the air. It'll pump it out of the top. It's a real neat kind of system. It's
the copper.
It's the fines. It is the fines that will go to the center, because everything, all the fine stuff is going to the center. All of the core stuff is going out to the edge, dropping down and going out the bottom.
Is this a searcher for more ore?
It's looking. They're trying to get copper and moly out. This is part of the system that pulls the copper and the moly out of the ore. It comes out and it flows up out of the top. And God used this for me. He goes, because I was there. I don't feel like I'm doing anything. He said, "Oh no, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're doing a lot." And so, this is the way the Lord presented it to me. I was talking to my son about this the other day, and I was telling him, I said, let me tell you about what God showed me with a piece of equipment that we use at the mine and how it works and what it does for us at the mine. And my son looked at me, he goes, "Dad, you need to tell that to folks. You need to try to explain it. Any way you can explain the need for the Holy Ghost in their lives would probably be good." And I said, "You're probably right." And so I told him about it, and I started thinking about it. And I said, "Lord, if you let me speak on this, I'm going to speak on it." And he did. So the Lord showed me that all that ore going into that thing, spinning around, that's your life. It's your life. Everything is flowing. Everything's moving. How many say amen? Sometimes you got 30 things going on at one time. Amen. It's just everything's moving. Everything's going. But not everything is important. Is that right? See, this thing is also, it's not only is it called a separator, it's also called a classifier. It classifies. It breaks into segments what's needed and what's wanted. Is that okay? How many like the classified ads? Hey, that's probably an old thing now, isn't it? Yeah. Does anybody have a classified them? But you know what made it easy? It was in alphabetical order. Is that right? It was classified. And that's what this thing does. It's a classifier. As your life is spinning, the vortex finder, this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. He says, I'm the vortex finder. And I'm looking at this, and when he said, I said, "Oh my goodness, I get it." You see, because what's needed in your life today, he knows. And he will instruct you and show you things, what he has for you for today. Don't worry about the rest of the stuff. Don't worry about it. Let that vortex finder, let the Holy Ghost show you what it is you need. Because this is the part that got me in the morning, man. God told me, he says, not only is the Holy Spirit the vortex finder, the one that finds all the stuff that you need, brings open and breaks open all the the plans that God has for you, the visions he wants to give you, the word he desires to place in your life. Not only does it do that, but also in the church, it really does separate. Can you hear what I'm telling you this morning? There are people that don't think this is very important at all, but like I said, it is the gift of God. The Word of God tells us this, that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, stronger than men, the foolishness of God. And sometimes we've put it off to the side, and you know, I would tell you folks, as a man of God that walks around, I'm tired of hearing the excuses of why we don't need the Holy Ghost. I'm tired of it. He is the focus point of the kingdom. He is Christ. Can you say amen to that? He is the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 14. I want you to see what the Vortex Finder does for you. Did everybody kind of get this? I know not everybody's going to get this thing about this, but I know, but this is what helped me. Is that okay? It helped me to understand that what I don't see, God sees. What I don't know, he knows. He knows what's important for me. If I pray in the Holy Spirit, he'll bring up the things. He'll classify what's important, what's not. He says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. See that? God reveals these things to you by your Spirit, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yea, the deep things. Deep calls unto deep. The deep things. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might what?
Know the things.
See, this is the Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that helps you to know the things that are freely given to you from God. Which things we speak, not in words of man's wisdom, intellect, but which the Holy Ghost speaks and teaches. Yeah, come on, man. What the Holy Spirit speaks, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Can you say amen to that? For the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness. My neighbor next door. I heard you out there talking in them tongues.
It's all right.
I love the guy. He doesn't, but his bees make the best honey in Arizona. I heard you out there talking. As he said, hey, Henry, I got to tell you, it's foolishness. Praise God, Johnny. We're on the same well. You notice our well don't break down. Our well don't break down much. You notice that, Johnny? Yeah, it's the Holy Ghost. Waters from beneath coming up. Yeah, anyway. Hallelujah. For they are foolishness to him, neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. Folks, you might not know this this morning, but I gave you some spiritual discernment. The Holy Ghost has given you some spiritual discernment. It should be on your heart. Say, God, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, it should be, say, God, I need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I got that now. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you haven't prayed in the Holy Spirit for a while, you need to, because God's got plans and directions for you in this. Can you say amen to that? He desires for you to know without a doubt in your heart, without a shadow, that he has something for you and he wants to take you there. And it, whatever it is, it's great because it's him. Amen. It's his plan for your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Oh, well, you see, next year I want to be in, where are we going, John? Tahiti. Next week, I want to go to Tahiti. God says, yeah, fat chance. Pray in the Holy Ghost about that and see what happens. Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on. Hey, folks, can I say this to you? We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to him. And his way is the only way. Can you say amen to that? No excuses. Don't try to figure out. Just, well, you know, Don't try to give me excuses for why you're not doing whatever. Don't try to say, well, I don't want to do that. All I know to do is tell you what God is saying to you. These are realities for this kingdom that is approaching, and it's approaching fast. You don't believe me? Look across the ocean. See what's going on. This kingdom is approaching. It's approaching fast. And God is saying, my spirit holds all the answers. Can you say amen to that? Whatever you don't understand, my spirit, God says, I understand and I will give it to you if you seek me. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm just going to go ahead and pray for you, because I was going to have you come up to the front and we're going to lay hands on you and pray that God would refill you. But I'm just going to say, hey, man, your roast is done. Yeah, your roast is done. The Holy Spirit will touch you wherever you're at. Ask the Lord, say, God, I'm in. I need the Holy Ghost. I need to pray according to your will and not my will. I desire your will, Father, not my will. So let me pray. Father, I thank you for your people. Lord, strengthen them and build them. The only real way to be built is by praying in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father, for it. I praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Hey, hug somebody's neck. Tell them how much you love them. Amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed. Go get your roast. Woo. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.